Welcome to Flash Fried. How's everybody doing? Blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
All around the mulberry bush, the monkey chased the weasel. The monkey thought it was all in fun. Pop goes the weasel. We're just going to sing Pop Goes the Weasel.
Is that what we're doing?
Yep, that's the news.
Is that the narrative?
Yep.
Pop goes the weasel. All right.
Isn't it true?
Maybe. I don't know. Here's a little piece of the State of the Union.
I've also made an ironclad pledge to American families. We will always protect patients with...
What's funny?
I couldn't do it. Last night I tried to watch this, and it's so weird because usually if Donald Trump is standing with a bunch of people, I can't take my eyes off of him, but it's Pelosi in this. I could not stop watching Pelosi's sour-ass face just puzzle her way through this.
Yeah.
Because she has to listen to this entire speech, and she knows her base of people are watching her. She has to look like appropriately, like
she can't look supportive back there,
and she can't just skip.
She has to consciously look like she's disgusted by everything
because,
that's happening.
Because the whole Democratic line is like, we're representing like the government, like we're like, you know, the return to normalcy, and the fact that we're going to run a stable government, and you know all that bullshit. So she has to attend that and look like, okay, I'm happy to be here, but oh, I hate Trump.
She's bad at it. She just looks like a sour old math teacher or something sitting back there.
She kind of is.
Donald Trump is my worst pupil.
Pre-existing conditions.
So how absurd is this whole fucking enterprise?
Extremely, especially because Trump just said that he's always been about protecting pre-existing conditions when his administration has like literally gone out of its way to, you know, restrict
and
to like make sure that people that the insurance companies can discriminate against people with pre-existing conditions. Like, he fought tooth and nail to stop that, so I don't know what the fuck he's talking about there. I think it's just fun, you know, like in this post-truth world where like reality is a choose your own adventure book, you can just be like, yeah, I fucking love protecting people with pre-existing conditions, and a bunch of people can stand up and go, yay, yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, it's the very same lawmakers who are on his side as he gutted them. And it's just like, yeah, we're just fucking totally full of shit. Woo! I love it.
They're just clapping their own bullshit. We lied! Yay! We're good liars!
And we will always protect your Medicare, and we will always protect your Social Security. Always.
Try to cut both.
Yeah, it wants to cut both.
Look at this galley full of fucking bloated vampires.
American patients should never be blindsided by medical bills. That is why I signed an executive order requiring price transparency.
Wow, yeah, that's real. Because that's awesome, you know? We need price transparency.
Look at the amount you're being fucked at. $300,000.
So before you let us fuck you, here's how bad we're going to fuck you.
Oh, dear God.
At least it was transparent. Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, the companies don't care about that. As long as you have to pay the bill. Oh, you're on the line for $500,000. Oh, shit.
We were transparent.
We
told you beforehand. It's like, okay,
yeah,
thanks.
Great.
So, yeah, more people choose to not get treatment. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I pulled this bit, by the way, because this is the part where, I mean, like, his entire State of the Union was obviously full of shit. But this is the part where he was, like, to me, the most full of shit.
Okay.
Because, like, literally everything that comes out of his fucking mouth is a lie here.
Many experts believe that transparency, which will go into full effect at the beginning of next year, will be even bigger than healthcare reform.
I don't even know what that means. Can someone explain that to me? It could just be deficiencies in my own understanding.
He's saying that because when people will see the price, they'll be able to comparison shop suddenly and say, like, I need a fucking triple bypass suddenly. Like,
but I don't,
let's get some quotes from these hospitals.
I don't understand how that's bigger than healthcare reform.
It's not
bigger.
I don't really understand that as a concept.
That's because you're not Trump. You don't have the mind to understand.
You don't think bigly, teacher. You think smally.
I guess I do.
It will save families massive amounts of money for substantially better care. But as we work to improve Americans' health care, there are those who want to take away your health care, take away your doctor, and abolish private insurance entirely.
Oh, no.
Dear God.
Not these horrible vampiric companies that charge us out the ass.
Please, anything but that.
Anything but those.
Spare them. Please save the insurance industry, Donald Trump. Please, God. Anything but that. I don't want to live in a world where an insurance company CEO isn't making hundreds of millions of dollars off of the suffering extorting of the American people.
Yeah, extorting people for fucking health problems. Well, you had a heart attack. $10,000 right now up front, and we'll save you.
It's a lot more
it's
than
like,
that.
Like, yeah, man, can we preserve that system, please?
Ooh. 132 lawmakers in this room have endorsed legislation to impose a socialist takeover of our health care system, wiping out the private health insurance plans of 180 million very happy Americans.
Yeah. Oh, we're all. Oh, wow. Yeah.
I'm ecstatic about
it. Yep. 180 million of us that do have private insurance. I run into everybody too. Don't you?
Everybody. I'm like, hey, man, how about that private insurance? And they're just like, yeah, bro, that's awesome.
I love my private insurance.
Oh my God. I'll tell you what. I'm gonna just tell you the cutest little story. When I was sitting there trying to pick my health care plan, I'm like, oh wow, let's see, $750 a month, $18,000 deductible. Cool, man, this is great.
Yeah, this is wonderful.
Thank God I live in the land of the free, because if I lived in some communist fucking shithole like Denmark or something, I wouldn't have to pay for any of this. Okay,
you wouldn't have that choice.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have the choice to choose
which of these terrible plans do I want most?
Isn't that really freedom is about, TJ? Look,
yes.
In these other countries,
absolutely,
they have this one standard of health care, which doesn't make any sense. But we have varying standards, TJ. Look
here. Socialism.
And you know what's even better, TJ? If you want to you don't want to pay for it, just forego it. Remember, Trump did away with that. There's no mandate, TJ.
Yeah, you can just be like, I don't even need insurance.
Who needs insurance in America? I don't need that shit.
I'll never have any health problems. I'm just an overweight smoker. Why would I need this?
Think about this, too. I mean, like, so let's say you're not in a good economic position, so you can't afford the $750. So you just go without it, and then you have a health issue. Then it's like, well, you're just going to go to a hospital, and you're going to rack up a massive amount of medical debt, which you're not going to be able to pay because it's going to be exorbitant. Oh, TJ, you have pneumonia.
I'll just get it dismissed in bankruptcy. This is the American way.
I guess you'd have to.
Boo.
To those watching at home
tonight. A lot of ghosts in the audience there.
I want you to know we will never let socialism destroy American health care.
Thank God. Yeah.
Yes.
All those people have government health plans, by the way.
Of course.
Just so you know. All those people standing up, oh, yeah, socialism, get government out of health care. All of them have excellent government health care as a perk of being a United States senator, congressperson, whatever fuck.
Well, the health insurance industry they prop up really is socialism if you really look at it, because most of the jobs, about 20% of our GDP, goes into the health care industry.
I don't know who that is, but so, I love that guy is so bemused by this. Look at him.
I mean, also the fact that they're fine with the military budget being whatever the fuck that is. Oh, that's great. You know, another $1 trillion, no problem.
Yeah, we need to get the government out of our military.
How's the F-35 program doing, government? Doing just fine. $1.3 trillion, endless cost overruns, plain ineffectual. That's fine. Keep pumping money into it. People need health care, sir.
Well, not good.
You know what, Scotty?
A socialist takeover of the healthcare system occur.
You know what's going to happen, though?
What's going to happen?
You're going to be fucking have egg on your face when that F-35, they finally get it right.
Yeah, 20 years from now, it's an acronym.
It's a badass motherfucker.
Look
dude.
How badass it is. Only 35 years later, the F-35 was how long it was going to take to develop the supreme weapon. What'd you do?
Yeah, come on, dude.
Yeah, dude.
What a fucking farce.
There's just like a whole block of people wearing white. Was that a thing?
Yeah, some kind of bullshit, like we're women or something.
It's like for the suffragette thing. It's like the back when women were trying to fight for the right to vote, they were white.
Oh, yeah.
Got it.
So let's just, you know, yeah, like let's virtue signal about some antiquated bullshit.
Pretty much.
So how about this, huh? Nancy Pelosi in a fucking symbolic gesture to end all symbolic gestures.
And a power move, TJ. Let's see what she does, dude.
Yeah, let's watch as she rips.
Hi, I'm Tony Clayton.
Oh, my God.
Tony Clayton.
Yeah, what's up, Tony Clayton?
Just Google me, baby.
Yeah, all right.
Damn,
dude.
You know what? Tony Clayton's kind of cool.
Google me, baby.
Google me, baby. I'm Tony Clayton, bitch.
Tony Clayton, boy.
America is the place where anything can happen.
Is it?
America is the place where anyone can rise.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're proof of that, huh?
On this land, on this soil.
Let me see all this. See the part where she tears it up.
The best is yet to come. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless America. Thank you very much.
Ah, they cut away. They cut away.
Stupid CNN.
She waited. Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's tearing apart page by page.
Dude, Nancy Pelosi's speech, she's ripping it up.
She's too weak just to rip it all apart. She has to fucking go, three at a time.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi tore up a copy of President Donald Trump's speech.
Who fucking cares?
At the conclusion of his State of the Union address on Tuesday night. A lot of people. I've seen a lot of conservatives super mad. I've also seen a lot of leftists on Twitter super mad. Well, not even mad so much as just like, oh, my God, you stupid bitch. Who cares? It's some meaning. Like, I saw someone do the perfect tweet I saw was, I wish she would have torn apart Trump's military budget, which she voted for. I don't know if she voted for it, but she presided over it. I'm pretty sure she did.
Remember how the evening started, too? That was another big story, was that Trump did not shake her hand. Like, she put her hand out, and Trump turned away.
Trump didn't shake her hand.
And so
she tore apart Trump's speech.
Yeah, so she wouldn't be one up. She had to tear up the speech. Think about your speech.
This is what I think about your fucking speech, bitch.
Meanwhile, like, what happened with the DNC and the Iowa caucuses? What went on there?
I'm sorry. If you were like me...
I'm sorry.
Sorry. Not like you.
If you're like me. These fucking ads, dude.
This is not an ad. This is actually the next thing I want to play.
Why are conservatives letting themselves get so triggered?
I don't know, but I actually got you. I actually got a trigger conservative. You might recognize. Let me see if you recognize this this woman, Paul.
Okay.
You might recognize her too, Scotty. Check her out. You guys recognize this chick?
Didn't she sing the Trump song?
Yep. Scotty nailed it. Real women vote for. She's part of the deplorable choir. She's basically the lead singer of the deplorable.
What an achievement!
And she had some words about this.
Let's hear what she had to say.
It's time to hear her opinion about what's going on with this speech.
I'm sorry. If you were like me and you were just watching that State of the Union, you just saw the most disgusting behavior of these unpatriotic dark souls in white.
Plopsles?
Wow. The fact that she's having to try so hard to get this very simple screed out is kind of worrying. Look how hard she's having to concentrate.
Did she have some of Grandpa Trump's dementia? Is that, I feel like you're a Trump supporter. Does that get passed on to you? Where he's like,
I'm confused about where I am or what I should be doing.
Stand up or go home, TJ. Either you agree with the president or you don't love America.
That's right.
White suits, Democrats, and all their colleagues that couldn't find it within their bones to stand up and clap for the simplest things that should make us all proud Americans. They couldn't stand up and clap for a little black girl that got to choose her school and for probably the only time in her life is going to get to stand in the chambers for the State of the Union. You couldn't stand for that.
For some crass emotional appeal to be like, stand for a little black kid. So let's bring out our token black child. We love black kids in the Republican Party. Oh, good little black kid.
Can you imagine? Yay! Can you imagine spending 5 minutes in the presence of this person?
No. Oh, I feel like my IQ would just plummet further than it already has.
About it. Does she have a husband?
I'm sure.
She's
probably
bastard.
Pumped out a bunch of kids, too.
Oh, this voice, the tone of her voice is so shrill and
Damn, TJ, your shrill voice is pretty good.
I know, right?
It really
President
is.
President Trump saying he doesn't want to kill full-term babies? You couldn't...
Oh, my God, I can't believe it. Wait, you mean they didn't so they didn't stand up and clap when Trump fucking took a pro-life stance? Yeah, it's not like that's been a deep-seated division going on forever. I mean, like, what the fuck do you think they're going to do? You think a bunch of Democrats are going to Yeah! We're all pro-life now because we need to clap for the president.
I feel like us being outraged and, like let's say Bernie Sanders became president was like, and we are going to have universal health care. It's like, why didn't the Republicans stand up and clap for that? This is ridiculous. This is America. Everyone needs health insurance. They should recognize it's a right.
Just go look at some Obama fucking addresses and look at how many Republicans are just sitting yeah. there on their hands.
Remember the guy, you lie?
Well, that's because he wasn't saying things that were good.
Oh, what about the dignity of this whole event? You lie, Obama! He said he did it during his State of the Union speech. What the fuck are they talking about?
You lie!
Fuck
you! Lie.
Fuck you know. Fuck their short memories, dude. Fuck these people. They're so insipid. If it was the other way around, they'd be like, "The Republicans need to sit down. Sit down." If you know the president, that like it would have the exact opposite fucking goddamn take on this. There's no consistency. It's only when you want to. Like, I hate these fucking lukewarm. Like, everyone just needs to come together. If they fundamentally disagree, why should they? If there's an actual point of contention, why the fuck should they? Why should people stand up for an emotional appeal? This person served honorably in Iraq, and look at how fucking badly scarred and damaged they are because of the fucking adventurism of the U.S. Should people clap for that because that person got blown up? Fuck that, dude. Yep. You shouldn't clap for that fucking shit. Not because you don't feel sympathy for that person, because you disagree with what the fucking means and mechanism that sent them there in the first place.
Stand
You're not a
for
patriot,
low
Scotty.
Unemployment? You couldn't stand for the lowest unemployment for minorities and women? You couldn't stand for President
she gonna
Trump
pass
saying
out?
That he won't let...
you couldn't stand...
socialized healthcare destroy our healthcare in America?
Why isn't it destroyed in those other countries then? Are they just waiting around for it to happen? Like, any day now, our healthcare system is gonna fucking be torn apart.
Why didn't everyone stand up and applaud the lowest unemployment
what a stupid
in history,
take.
Though, Scotty?
What a stupid
Unless
take.
you just try to slide on by that unemployment rate, don't you? And got no response.
Well, number one, the unemployment rate is hotly contested. Number two,
no, it's not.
The jobs being created are not very good jobs.
No,
most people
they're great
are considered
jobs.
Underemployed.
They're great jobs.
They're great jobs.
Wonderful jobs.
Look, I created these jobs. They're terrific jobs. Oh, but we can't pay people an actual living wage, though, TJ.
Wages are up under Trump, Scotty. Wages are way up.
How much are they up?
I don't know. They're up, though.
They're up, though. Up 0.1%. How much index to inflation
how much,
are they?
How up are they? Way.
How are they actually up in consideration to healthcare, TJ? Healthcare costs have risen much faster than wage increase. So any wage increase
true, Scotty. You're crazy.
Is negligible, TJ. And actually, you're losing money.
No.
Go
no,
fuck
no.
yourself.
No, Scotty. You're
yes,
wrong. You're
I'm
wrong.
Right. I'm right.
You need to stand up and clap for your president.
Just endlessly. Just be a brain. Be a water-headed idiot.
There you go, Scotty. There you go.
Dude, Chauncey just clapped. Dude, look at him.
Is he clapping?
He moved.
He did? He shit.
He okay. fucking he wanted
Trump
to see.
Saying that he'd eradicate AIDS
trying to
in
see around your big head.
And that the drug overdose deaths were the lowest they've ever been in history. Do you?
What about I don't think that's true.
What about before the drugs were invented?
Are we in the middle of a giant fentanyl crisis where people are overdosing every day? I don't think that's true.
Maybe everyone overdosed and now there's no more people left to overdose.
Oh, okay.
Maybe good that's point. What happened.
You like death? These people are
do you like death?
Sometimes I do.
Sometimes death is good. What about someone who's terminally ill and suffering and is in horrible pain? Yeah, then I like
that. That's
like,
not the example I was thinking of, but yeah.
I do like death. Oh, well, TJ, come now, TJ.
I never said anything. I'm just saying, you know,
TJ,
there's
have
some circumstances.
If a big chunk of space ice landed on this bitch right now, I'd like death. Just a big... chunk of flaming fucking comet ice
hey,
just hits her
that?
Right in the head.
What's that, Bobby?
Splat. Knocks over that stupid faux Greek pillar she's got in her fucking shitty waspy McMansion. Yeah. I'd like death.
Apparently don't want to protect Social Security and Medicare.
Your president fucking tried to cut those, you stupid
You've
bitch.
You gotta be kidding
she
me.
She doesn't care.
You don't, you're the one who's...
It doesn't matter.
I mean, like... Oh, it's real nice that he can get up on stage and say a bunch of good things he's done. It doesn't, I guess the fact that he's lying just doesn't matter, right?
Well, it's never mattered. It doesn't matter at all. It's just that they feel that Donald Trump, you know, basically purports, and he obviously says this, and he pays lip service, that he fucking defends their political spectrum and their views. And whether that jives the reality or not is irrelevant to them. It doesn't matter. They don't care. It's long been such established. Like, I mean, look, Trump lies. There's like the tens of thousands. Trump lies every fucking... Pretty much, Trump speaks, he lies. I mean, he lies, contradicts himself. It doesn't fucking matter. As long as they feel that he represents them, they don't give a fuck.
It doesn't matter.
Because their butts were glued in the dang chair. Just to let you know, if you want to know why I support my president, is because of the very things that he said. Like, he's protecting our religious liberties.
Yeah, just right. Right. You're, you know, I do
he's
believe
protecting
you.
Protecting our religious liberties.
It's the things that he says. It's not the things that he does. So you're right. And that's why you're naive and foolish.
Country was founded upon y'all. Our religious freedoms. And they...
Our country was not founded upon religious freedoms.
Set.
I mean, that was part of it.
Freedom from religion.
I mean, there was a... Look, the First Amendment fucking says, you know, the Congress will make no law respecting an establishment of religion. And part of that was because, you know, everybody should be able to free worship their own way because, you know, there's contrasting with, like, you know, because England, where they have the Church of England,
yes,
and shit.
Exactly.
It's like everybody has to be part of this church and all that. So part of it was, yeah, let's be free from that sort of persecution and let's let everyone celebrate their own faith in their own way.
Religious liberty, let people decide.
But that's not what founded America. What founded America was a bunch of rich dudes being like, we're taxed too much.
Taxation without representation.
Let's foment revolution so that we can seize control of this continent.
Yeah, I just want to know
what
it
is.
The problem
I'm
is.
Tired of this fucking story being, like, it's not a valorous story. The foundation of America was literally a bunch of elitist fucking rich dudes that fomented revolution so that they could take over and they could be the big wigs and they wouldn't have to kiss the King of England's ass anymore. That's it. That's it.
No, dude, it was the creation of the greatest nation that has ever existed on the face of this fucking planet.
TJ, that's not what happened, dude. You're so fucking wrong, dude. We all know what happened. George Washington was standing around like, what should we do? Then Jesus came down and said, like, I anoint you. You must lead America to a glorious future. And then, of course, we all know what happened. He fought against the English, kicked their ass back to fucking England, wherever that fuck that
God.
Is.
With God
with on
the
their
power
side.
Of God on his side. Yes,
yeah,
of course.
And that's what happened. That's why I think he was elected. Well, I mean, elected is a generous word. That's why he was selected as the first president of our country.
You are president.
I love Christian persecution complex, though. She's acting like her religious liberty is under assault.
Yeah, like someone was coming for it.
Like, who's keeping her from going to that fucking gaudy-ass mega church you know she attends every fucking Sunday and
Nobody.
Wednesday? Who's standing in the way of that?
No one. Not a single goddamn person.
Who's stopping, you know, these stores that sell all this Bible merchandise that she decorates her house with? Nobody.
Not a single goddamn motherfucker.
Like, there's literally nobody even cares. Nobody cares what you worship or how.
I don't care.
He wants to bring prayer back in schools. This is one of the reasons why Christians and evangelicals elected him.
He wants to bring prayer back in
you
schools.
You can already... All
right, so that's a violation of the First Amendment.
No, you can pray in school, but they cannot lead a prayer.
See, yeah, the prayer was never banned from school.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Students have always been allowed to pray in school.
I'm fine with prayer being allowed, but there's got to be alternate invocations.
Right.
So if a Christian wants to stand up and lead a prayer, then a Satanist should be able to follow it up.
Well, that's the problem. When they try to do these, like, we want prayer back, or we want to put
Christian
religion...
prayer.
Yeah, but they then always, you know, because of the First Amendment, the interpretation either has to be anybody can get up and lead the class in prayer, or no one can get up and lead the class in prayer, and you can just pray on your own time if you want to pray.
Dude, Taylor told me this thing at her school when she was growing up in a heavily evangelical Christian area. Like, they had a prayer box thing. And I was like, oh, we got prayer box. These are great. Then someone's like, we want to have a Muslim prayer box. And they're like, oh, no, what? No, there can only be Christian ones. And then there was like, well, we're going to get the ACLU involved. We're going to sue the school district. And it's like, there can be no prayer boxes. So it's all just about, there's one religion.
It's not about religious freedom. Yeah. It's about Christian
it's
supremacy,
about Christian,
as usual.
Yeah, so like anytime they say this shit, it's just lip service. And there's countless examples of that, and countless people have come forward with
why don't you just come out and be like, we support theocracy. We think it should just be, we think the Christians should take over and no other religion should be allowed. And basically what you want is the opposite of what the founders fought for. They didn't want some monolithic religion that everybody had to follow. They wanted the people of this country to have religious freedom. Yeah. And you want the opposite of that, so you're the one who's against fucking religious liberty, you stupid fucking cunt.
Every time you pause this, it looks like a freeze frame of the moment she saw somebody's head explode across the room. Look at it. Like, try it. Just let it go a second and freeze it and see if it looks the same.
All right. And they set, which doesn't surprise me because most of them are anti-Christian.
I'm not even
going to
look at it.
Ilhan Omar couldn't even look up when he said he's going to put Americans first. When he said he's going to build a big, beautiful wall that's in the process of going up right now. They don't care. You know,
Maybe they fundamentally disagree with those ideas. Like,
see, she doesn't look like she's looking at someone's head explode like, there. She's happy about it.
I don't get where, like, why does the opposition to you have to be like, I respect
why does the opposition continuously oppose me? Why can't they all just agree? Oh, God.
She's got such a great personality, though. I don't know why anybody would be opposed.
Yeah.
You know why?
That's true.
Because they don't represent you or me. They represent
somebody.
Technically, they do. They're elected officials.
Were they elected? I mean, like, you can say that every democracy or whatever has its problems, of course. But, I mean, they were elected. So they do represent the people. And
they're actually called representatives. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know.
Well, that's a big Tea Party line, is the non-representing representatives who don't represent the real will of the people, TJ.
But I mean, like, the way they determine what the real will of the people is they just look inside themselves. What do I like? Well, that must be the will of people. Whatever I like must be the will of people. Yeah,
that's a good joke, TJ. More like, I look inside myself. Okay, what lobby is coming to see me today?
I'm talking about the voters, not the politicians.
Okay, sorry, I misunderstood.
Yeah, I'm talking about, like, Joe Blow out there who fucking believes this bullshit that this woman is spewing.
Okay, I got it.
They just look inside themselves and say, I'm the real America. Anyone who disagrees with me is fake America.
Of course.
We have a problem, guys, because that is not going to help any of us. So come 2020, we have to rally together.
Why can't we all just support a Christian theocracy? Come on, guys, everyone get together.
I mean, they're pretty much getting their way. We should listen to this, because they're pretty much, you know, they're getting their way.
We are going to stand, and we are not going to put up with that patriotic, soulless, disgusting display of anti-Americanism.
She's really struggling hard, dude.
Jesus, that brain is going at fucking 700 RPM.
She's like focusing as hard as she can.
She's doing the spirit bomb. She's about to spirit bomb us.
No, that's Kamehameha. That's a different thing.
She's like gathering her energy. The energy of the Christian theocracy, lend me your powers.
Ugh. In the chambers of Congress, our country shouldn't be divided. There are some things that you should unite us. Like when President Trump said he took out a terrorist, al-Baghdadi, can't even say his name.
That you shouldn't be bragging about that.
Yeah. You shouldn't be talking about it I know it's a tough one.
Yeah. Dude, far be it for me to criticize anyone for not
being
able to pronounce
names. I mean, I can't pronounce shit either.
I can't pronounce names for shit either, so I cannot criticize that.
I'm not usually, like, patting myself on the back for it or acting like it's the name's fault.
I can't even pronounce that name!
And his widow is standing there with her 14-year-old boy who lost his daddy. You stand up for that!
Wait, so whose widow was... Someone's widow was there? Baghdadi's widow was... What? I'm confused.
That's American. Loving your neighbor is American.
Loving your neighbor is American?
What if your neighbor disagrees with everything you're saying here, though?
Right. It seems like you're just... I don't...
How much are you going to love that neighbor?
Okay.
Realistically, you're not
real. At that point, they're not real neighbors.
Right.
They're not real Americans.
A real neighbor agrees with everything I say.
Yeah, I have to apply...
I love that neighbor.
God is American. And these people have...
God is an American. That's like that fucking...
God is an American.
Did she listen to Nine Inch Nails earlier?
I don't think she realized that song was meant to be ironic.
God is an American.
Completely forgot. For God's sake, y'all, stand up.
I'm standing up.
The most fucking... Okay. The emptiest platitude ever. We gotta stand up.
Thank you.
Like, okay.
Well, you know what? You know who did stand up?
Who did?
You know who stood up and was recognized?
Who stood up, TJ? Who did it?
Rush Limbaugh.
Yes! Finally, Rush!
Melania Trump awards Rush Limbaugh Presidential Medal of Freedom.
A day
at
of
Trump's
days.
State of the Union address.
Well, that award is now meaningless.
Great. Let's take a look.
Almost every American family knows the pain when a loved one is diagnosed with a serious illness. Here tonight is a special man. Beloved.
Oh, yeah, he's real special.
Of course.
Millions of Americans.
Millions.
Just received a stage 4 advanced cancer diagnosis. This is not good news, But what is good news is that he is the greatest fighter and winner that you will ever meet.
Wow, someone greater and better than you, Trump?
Damn.
Well, you know, obviously not me. Second greatest.
Rush Limbaugh, thank you for your decades of tireless devotion to our country.
Wow.
Wow. Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
I tweeted about this. I'm going to steal a joke from myself. You know, if we're giving medals out now to fat, hate-filled people who are probably going to die of lung cancer, where's mine?
I guess so.
It's in the mail.
I hope so.
We're all getting them. What was that?
Oh, the Trump train.
He tooted the horn?
Oh, yeah, he's tooting the horn on the Trump train.
Okay.
Respect. Whatever. Anything else to say about that?
I guess Trump can give the Medal of Freedom to whoever he fucking wants.
The Congressional Medal of Freedom to Rush Limbaugh?
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on?
You want to see it get placed on him?
Yeah, let's see it, man.
Let's watch him pin.
Might as well see the shit show in action.
Let's see this.
Does he act like he didn't know he was getting it?
I don't know. Me? Who cares? Here we go.
TJ just wants to pull that implant off the side of Limbaugh's head.
I do.
That's an expensive one, Jay. It's a golden implant.
Yeah.
I mean,
golden EIB implant.
I mean, like, it kind of makes sense. I mean, Rush is always one of the gold mic and all that shit. I mean, they're fucking kindred spirits.
All right. Well, there you go. So, this just in. Presidential Medal of Freedom. Yep.
You get the
Medal
of Freedom.
Now meaningless.
Yep. Yep. Now being full of shit is a criteria for being awarded the Medal of Freedom.
We await ours in the mail.
Being full of hateful shit is now gets you the Medal of Freedom.
So TJ, I can look forward. You know, maybe one day there'll be a president that likes one of us, and we can get a fucking Presidential Medal of Freedom, dude.
You support Bernie? Maybe you get. Maybe you can.
Probably
angle
not,
one.
But you know, who knows?
Maybe you can angle one in there, dude. You can be like, look, I mean, Trump gave one to Rush. Why? I think I deserve one.
I would like to take a moment tonight to recognize a fat neckbeard that hates everyone, spews violence, supports. The degradation of society, and is a horrible, self-serving, lunatic egomaniac. TJ Kirk, stand up. By the way, he just got a stage 4 lung cancer diagnosis.
Love it, man. Yes, please. Please. All right. Let's move on to some coronavirus coverage.
Oh, fuck, the world is coming apart.
This is this is a woman being attacked for wearing a face mask. You can't really see much in the video, honestly, but we'll play it anyway. She is running.
Yo, come on.
So basically, you can't see shit. You can only see a guy like just trying to strike her. Is the reason known?
Yeah, a woman wearing a face mask was attacked at a Chinatown subway station after allegedly being called a diseased bitch in what police are treating as a possible hate crime sparked by coronavirus. Shocking video shared by the NYPD's hate crimes unit shows a violent confrontation involving a woman with her face completely covered by a yellow face mask, glasses, and a hood of a parka. An eyewitness claimed the victim had already been hit on the head when she ran to confront her attacker, who unleashed a flurry of blows after missing with a flying kick, eventually pushing her into a wall. Don't fucking touch me. Don't fucking touch me. N-word. The attacker screams as the woman shooting the video tries to pull him away. He had first confronted the victim over her mask, according to a social media post by the woman who says she shot the footage at Grand Street Station at 6 p.m. Sunday. I clearly heard the words diseased bitch.
Diseased bitch.
I also heard him asking. I also heard her asking him to go away. Instead, the man suddenly got very close to the woman's face, which is not a good thing to do if you suspect someone of having the coronavirus.
Yeah, she's diseased. Why are you attacking her?
Hit her on the head, blah, blah, blah. By the way, people don't typically wear these face masks and stuff because they have the coronavirus.
Yeah, so they don't catch
usually
it.
People wear those things to protect them from illness, not because they're already
and air
ill.
Pollution and shit.
Yeah, this guy's right. This guy's an asshole, dude. Like, someone's actually just like, they're obviously just paranoid. And he just takes it to an extreme of assuming that she has the disease. Like, she had the disease, she'd be under quarantine.
Dude, this is the New York City subway. Some crazy fucking person attacks another person every fucking five minutes.
That's par for the course, dude. Yeah, I have to agree with you there.
So, Princess Cruises quarantines 3,700 for 2 weeks on ship after 10 on board test positive for coronavirus.
Dude, I hate to say it, man, but burn the plague chips, dude.
Burn
the plague
chips. Is there anybody, like, it's shocking to me that people are still getting on these fucking ships. Like, wasn't it like a couple of years ago that one of them was just like stuck out in the middle of the ocean and people were shitting over the sides?
It had to be like towed into like Mobile, Alabama. Oh, dude, I will not. Not only that, these things are one of the worst fucking polluters to the environment. They're horrible for basically everything around them. They're fucking hotbeds of disease.
Apparently.
They're overpriced. Dude, I would never get on a fucking cruise ship. They're one of the worst fucking
things. I've been on two.
Princess Cruises,
I don't envy you,
said it placed 3,700 passengers and crew under mandatory quarantine after 10 people aboard the ship in Yokohama tested positive for the new coronavirus. The company said Monday a previous guest who didn't have any symptoms while aboard tested positive for the coronavirus on Saturday. The ship was being held in Japan for 24 hours while Japanese health authorities assessed the 3,700 passengers and crew on board.
Look, I'm just going to go with, like, the Warcraft and, like, you know, other things in history. You got to burn the plague ship. Look, it's 3,700 people is a lot of people to lose. But is that a small price to pay to protect us from a pandemic?
How about we just stop letting these giant vectors of disease sail around the ocean, polluting it? How about we stop that?
Nah.
Just outlaw these stupid fucking cruise ships.
Well, what about industry, Paul?
Wahoon coronavirus crematorium is working 24/7, burning 100 Wahoon bodies a day. Okay, you're focusing on the wrong part. My pronunciation is not what matters.
Wahoon!
Burning 100 bodies a day, insider claims. A worker at a funeral home in Wuhan has reportedly made the disturbing claims, as Chinese authorities have insisted the official death toll remains at just under 500.
I mean, is anybody shocked about this? Is anybody shocked that the fucking Chinese government isn't being honest about these numbers?
I mean, this crematorium worker could be the liar, too. Chinese crematoriums are working 24/7 as they burn bodies of people killed by the coronavirus in Wuhan, it has been claimed. Workers are reportedly working flat out and without break as they constantly sent the bodies of victims. It is claimed to have been burning 100 bodies a day every day since January 28th. One insider who is said to work at a funeral home in Wuhan has reportedly revealed the long working hours to deal with the surge of coronavirus deaths. Crematorium workers are reportedly working in makeshift protective suits and masks as they handle the bodies. It comes after Chinese state media issued a decree banning funerals and demanding near-instant cremation for victims. Wuhan is epicenter of the outbreak, being the first city in China to be placed under full quarantine. Disturbing accounts and reports have been emerging from the city, leading to speculation that the death toll is being downplayed by the Communist Party.
Well, it makes perfect sense. If you cremate the bodies, then it's like, nope, they're just dead. They're gone. That's it. You know, there's no evidence that anyone had it. You know, they can just deny that person ever existed.
Do you think that they are you think that they're covering up the death rate? They're trying to downplay it?
Yes. I don't think it makes sense for them to... What do you think would happen to the fragile hole in society if they said, you know, actually, we're burning 100 bodies a day? I'm not saying, oh, this is the gospel truth, just trust this uncritically. But if this actually is true, this would lead to a massive panic. Saying 100 bodies a day are being burned because of the fucking coronavirus, that's insane. But I, as we saw, the mortality rate, if millions of people get it, there's going to be thousands of deaths. So this would add up and this would make sense.
I think it's fun. I mean, you know, they've apparently banned funerals for these people. So it's like, you know, a lot of the metrics you could actually track this by, all of a sudden, it's like, no, let's not do that. So here's a story Coronavirus, disabled boy dies in China after father quarantined.
Two with one stone.
Two officials in China have been removed from their post after a teenager with cerebral palsy died when his father and sole carer was quarantined for suspected coronavirus. Yan Chang, 16, was found dead on Wednesday, a week after his father and brother were placed in quarantine. The boy was fed only twice during this time, according to reports. Both the local Communist Party secretary and mayor of, I'm not even going to try, town have been dismissed over the case. Yan Cheng's story has been trending on social media websites. The family lived in China's central Hubei province, the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak. According to local media, the teenager's father was had been posted on Chinese social media platform Weibo, appealing for help and explaining that his son had been left alone without food or water. Cerebral palsy is the name of a group of conditions that appear in early childhood and affect movement and coordination. Symptoms vary and can include tremors, stiff or weak muscles, problems swallowing, and trouble with vision, speech, and hearing. Those affected may be severely disabled. Officials had, so basically, they put his father and his brother in quarantine, and then they only fed him twice, and he died.
Too bad he didn't get the fucking coronavirus. He would have died quicker. Fucking died of starvation. Just the... I mean, what do you even say?
Good
to
going, China.
Just, yeah, I mean, great job.
Way to
man.
Go,
nailed
China.
It. Look at this fucking retarded, poor, helpless fucking child. I basically have the mind of a child. He can't fucking do anything. He can't take care of himself. This is just so fucked up.
I don't know if cerebral palsy makes you retarded.
Okay, well, maybe I'm wrong about that. But
I think
unable to care for himself.
Right.
I mean, and that's still just horrible.
Rumors rife as China's Z disappears from public view amid virus outbreak.
Oh, damn.
I don't want to get this shit.
Z's got it.
This is from Taiwan News. Chinese leader Xi Jinping,
great leader,
has not appeared in public for 6 days, sparking rumors about his whereabouts as China scrambles to rein in the novel coronavirus outbreak, which has shown no signs of abating. Excuse me. The last time Xi made a public appearance was on January 28th. When he discussed the country's response to health crisis in a meeting with Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, whatever, Director General of the World Health Organization. Every move of the Chinese leadership is confident and traditionally only allowed to be published by state media. The fact that Xi has not shown up in any footage on China Central Television between January 29th and February 3rd is extremely uncommon. And has raised eyebrows in some quarters.
I know what happened.
You think he's sick?
He got his head stuck in the tree trying to get to the honey.
Ah, yeah. They don't want to fucking show him at his
lowest
point.
What happened to Pooh. Yeah. Everybody was going to Pooh's house like, where's Pooh? And he was out in the forest. Oh, bother.
I'm stuck in the honey tree.
Stuck in the tree.
Just like Winnie the fucking Pooh.
He does look like Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh.
Do you have some honey, TJ?
Xi Jinping is Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh. You can now go to jail in China for criticizing Beijing's coronavirus response.
I mean, if you were Chinese, would you criticize anything?
No.
About the government, especially?
Nope. Yeah, I'd just be like, government's great. Love it.
You don't have the freedom to do that. That's quite clear.
The Chinese government is ramping up its propaganda and cracking down on criticism as the virus spreads. Chinese authorities are cracking down on negative media coverage and social media commentary about the coronavirus outbreak, threatening anyone who breaches their rules with up to 7 years in jail. On Wednesday, the government authorities issued an order for an article that looked at the possible negative impacts of the outbreak on China's economy to be scrubbed from the internet. The article, published by state-owned weekly news magazine Sanlian Life Week, that's a weird name, considered what might happen to the Chinese economy if the World Health Organization declares Wuhan coronavirus to be a global health emergency. The alert, leaked to California-based monitoring group China Digital Times, is just the latest effort by Beijing to censor criticism of the outbreak. Beijing is eager to avoid a repeat of what happened during its 2003 SARS crisis, when it was heavily criticized for its delayed reaction to the outbreak and its efforts to hide its true scale. Globally, its efforts seem to be working. On Wednesday, the World Health Organization was effusive in its praise of the Chinese government's response to the coronavirus outbreak, but inside the country, the government is working overtime to make sure any shortcomings in its response don't come to light. These efforts include arresting dozens of social media users who spread false information without verification. One of those arrested turned out to be a doctor on the front line of the fight to contain the virus who shared information about the unknown illness with a private WeChat group.
Apparently, the doctor, it wasn't that private.
The doctor, who was forced to sign a document saying he would abide by the law, has since been infected with the coronavirus and remains in critical condition.
Oh, shit, dude.
Oh, yeah. Oops.
I mean, who knows if that's even true. Maybe he does have the coronavirus. Maybe
look, the vaccine for the super flu is coming next week, everybody.
Just hang on. It's being distributed as we speak.
Just everybody, just stay in your homes. Get lots of fluids. Everything's going
to
be fine.
Pay no attention to the piles of bodies in the streets. Everything is fine.
It shall be cleared away shortly.
Dude, by the way, I got to a fucking chapter in The Stand. It's got to be the best fucking chapter of a book ever written, dude.
Oh, yeah? What happens?
I think it's like chapter 32 or 33 or something. It's the one where...
I'm coming up on that.
It's the one where the dude... Like he's like he found an old lady in New York City and he's been banging her.
Yeah,
he has to go through the like Lincoln Tunnel to get to New Jersey.
Oh yeah, I remember that from the first time I read it.
Fucking God, that chapter is amazing, dude.
Yeah, I remember. Actually that was one of the a lot of the stuff in The Stand. Honestly, on rereading, I'm like I didn't really remember a lot of this, but I remember that even from my first reading of it, like 20 years ago,
dude, it's just like a masterclass in writing something that's actually scary. It's like such a claustrophobic fucking experience reading that chapter. It's great.
Yeah,
I'm ready, dude.
And I'm like seeing a lot of parallels here between the chapters I'm reading in that book and what's actually going on in China. So that's pretty creepy. Anywho. After breaching Mar-a-Lago security, she picked her mom... She picked up her mom at an airport in a bullet-riddled car.
The fuck?
As agents sprayed an SUV with bullets while it plowed through two security checkpoints near President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago club, the driver managed to elude authorities in her bullet-riddled car. Her next stop? The West Palm Beach airport to pick up her mother, according to sources familiar with the Friday incident. Hannah Romhild, 30, a trained opera soprano singer.
And apparently getaway driver.
Picked up her mother at Palm Beach International Airport, and together they checked into the local motel where authorities tracked her down and arrested her that afternoon.
Why did she crash through?
I don't know. Let's see. The windows of Romhild's SUV and the body of the vehicle were shredded from bullets shot by both Secret Service and Palm Beach County Sheriff's deputies as she breached the roadway security barricade and swerved around concrete barriers past Trump's club, Mar-a-Lago, according to sources. Romhild, who is from Connecticut, was supposed to appear in Palm Beach Circuit Court on Saturday morning, but she refused to do so. She is charged with two state counts of aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer after Friday's wild chase through Palm Beach and past Mar-a-Lago. Her initial state court date was delayed to Monday. Let's see. What the fuck? Why'd she do it? Her wild ride through the gauntlet of security checkpoints near Mar-a-Lago drew instant national attention just as Trump was preparing to leave behind the drama of the impeachment proceedings on Capitol Hill to stay at his winter White House, Mar-a-Lago, on Friday night. It's not clear whether the president plans to take in the Super Bowl in Miami. Well, obviously that happened already.
Yeah, that's what happened. It also said above that she's also going to face federal charges, too. So, I mean, this woman, I don't know why she thought this was a good idea. But
it basically just says she was drunk. This is not a terrorist thing, Palm Beach Sheriff Rick Bradshaw said at the Friday news conference. This is somebody that was obviously impaired.
Wow.
Somehow.
Maybe she's just crazy.
Yeah. Crazy, drunk.
She just had a meltdown or something.
Popping
shit.
Pills, decided to go to fucking Mar-a-Lago, now is facing federal and state charges.
I wonder if she sang opera as she was driving through the hail of bullets. That'd be pretty epic.
Yeah, I think if she did, then a movie needs to be made about her for sure.
A movie needs to be made about her anyway.
Virginia GOP delegate tries to kill own bill to remove Democratic segregationist statue. A Virginia GOP delegate is trying to kill his own bill that would remove a statue of the Democrat and segregationist Harry Byrd. Delegate
Wendell
Walker. Wendell Walker, Republican, introduced a bill to remove the tribute to former governor and U.S. Senator in Richmond after a Democratic push to remove Confederate statues in the state, reported The News in Advance, a Lynchburg, Virginia newspaper. The reason I put that in was more of a political reason, Walker said, on the reasoning behind wanting to kill the proposal, according to the newspaper. Walker offered his bill in response to Democratic efforts to remove Confederate statues across the state, including the statue of General Robert E. Lee in the U.S. Capitol building. These controversial efforts have sparked protests, including in Charlottesville in 2017. Yeah, we know. After Democratic delegates expressed their support for Walker's bill, he requested the bill no longer be considered, as he did not want the statue to be actually taken down.
Wait a minute.
I think history is very important, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, Walker said, according to the paper. I was not willing to allow the governor to have the opportunity to remove the statue. So basically, they called his bluff. He's like, oh, yeah, well, if you want to remove these statues, I'm going to remove this statue of this fucking Democratic governor who was pro-slavery or whatever.
All right, go ahead.
And they're like, okay. Yeah,
that's
sure.
Fine with us.
Go ahead and do it. We don't give a fuck.
Like, just kidding.
Like, never mind. I was wrong.
Take backsies.
So that's the problem with introducing symbolic legislation. It'd be funny if it passed. Ottawa businessman tells incredulous judge he burned $1 million in cash to keep it from his ex-wife.
Oh.
Bruce McConville would rather burn his own money than give it to his ex-wife, and a disbelieving Superior Court judge is giving him 30 days in jail to rethink his claim. The 55-year-old Ottawa businessman and failed mayoral candidate sold properties and businesses behind her back, then withdrew the $1 million and, he claims, burned the money in two bonfires. McConville has long defied a court order to file an affidavit about his finances, notably where the money came from, the secret sales. Because his financial affairs remain a mystery, the court has been unable to figure out what he owes in child support and spousal support. As a result, he has been paying neither. McConville also defied a court order not to sell his properties because there was fear that he was trying to keep the proceeds out of the court's reach. McConville, in fact, sold some assets to his former accountant. And he has further defied a superior court to pay the court $300,000 as security. McConville's explanation that he set fire to the missing million was revealed during a contempt motion last week before Superior Court Justice Kevin Phillips. McConville told Phillips he withdrew a total of $1,050,000 through as many as 25 withdrawals from six bank accounts, had the receipts to back up his claim, but no longer had the cash. So where is the money now? Phillips pressed. I destroyed it, McConville replied. You've lost me. What do you mean? The judge asked. McConville rambled and spoke of anxiety about a relationship with a daughter. Can I back you up a bit? When you said you destroyed it, what do you mean? The judge asked. I burnt it, McConville explained. To the tune of how much, the judge probed. In total, about $1,039,000, McConville said. He later said that he burned all $1,050,000. How does destroying over $1 million advance your child's best interests? The judge asked. McConville admitted he didn't film the bonfires of cash and had no witnesses and didn't report it in any fashion.
Come on, dude. You got the money. Whatever.
You understand that's hard to believe.
Yeah.
Justice Phillips
Thank
told
you.
Court. Yes, I do. McConville
agreed. Dude, this
guy's
fucking brilliant. I burned it.
Yeah, it's burned. I don't have it.
Got burned
some,
it up.
Got some video of it of you burning it? No.
Nope. Any witnesses? No.
This guy.
Can we come analyze the spots where you did the bonfire? Nope.
Nah.
Here's the problem with this dude. He's going to be, they're not going to let this fucking go. They're going to get a forensic accountant at some point. And, I mean, look, if he buried the money, maybe then. But he'd have to leave the country. He's going to have to leave Canada. He's going to have to fucking sneak away and live in fucking Thailand or some shit or some fucking other country, dude. Because they're never going to let him spend this money in Canada. There's no way.
So I'm going to tell you now about some great criminal masterminds.
Okay.
Florida trooper find narcotics in bag labeled bag full of drugs.
Well,
damn.
I mean,
there you go.
You know what? I like the people. The fact that people that were hiding the drugs were accurate in the description of their bag. This is a bag full of drugs. And you know what? It turned out to be true.
And I think they were trying to do this hide in plain sight thing.
Yeah, I think they went a little too far with
the
it.
Cop maybe. Sees you toting that around. They're going to go, okay, all right. I see what you're doing.
All right.
Yeah. Drugs definitely aren't in there.
Well, let's search everywhere but that bag.
Yep. No point. Nobody would be stupid enough to put their meth in the bag full of drugs.
That's just what I wanted you to think. Anyway, there's no point in reading the story. It's just, you know. They put their drugs in a bag full of drugs.
And then they got caught.
Titled Bag Full of Drugs. A conundrum. Who owns Louisiana land after it washes away?
I do.
I would say it belongs to the swamp at that point.
But who owns the swamp?
Good question. Louisiana's continual land loss, liberal lies, if you ask me,
ain't happening.
Has created a monumental legal headache. When privately owned land vanishes underwater, who does it belong to? I don't know.
Whoever owned it before.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, that chunk of the truck floating down the river is mine.
That's my chunk of land.
Put
damn
it back.
A task force created in the summer of 2018 to come up with policy recommendations sent its list of possible solutions to state lawmakers Friday ahead of their regular sessions. The problem is, a result of the state's rapidly changing landscape, about 80% of Louisiana's coast is privately owned, but under an old law, as coastal erosion and sea level rise turn the land into open water, the area becomes property of the state, including the mineral rights underneath.
Dude, it's brilliant.
I see.
The fucking, look, TJ, global warming, maybe people say it's a conspiracy, but then with this, these oil companies destroy the environment. They fucking whittle Louisiana down to nothing, get all the natural gas and all the fucking oil.
That's their plan. When
brilliant,
the entire
man.
Planet is underwater, we will own it all.
Private landowners have become more adamant about restricting access to water on their property in order to assert their claim to the minerals underneath it. But boaters have difficulty figuring out where private property ends and public waterways begin. Since 2003, Louisiana law does not require landowners to post signs demarcating their property. The resulting confusion led to the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society, or BASS, to announce in 2017 that it would no longer host professional fishing tournaments in Louisiana tidal waters where fishers risk being arrested. So wait, they don't have to mark where their property is.
You're supposed to know,
but you're just supposed to magically know. Otherwise, you could be arrested for violating private property.
And as anyone knows, if you know anything about the state. Fishing is a huge thing in Louisiana, so it's not like some minor thing. There's like, you know, hundreds of thousands of fucking people going out fishing every year. I mean, and obviously people doing charter fishing in the Gulf of Mexico. So I mean, this is just highly confusing. Like, there's no way to know if there's no way to, if they're not marking it. You guys have been on the water. I don't know if Paul has, but me and TJ have been on the water here many times, and there's no way to know what the fuck is where. As far as like who owns this piece of land or this piece of property, unless someone has a sign saying like no trespassing. That's usually normal. It's like, it's not like a fucking subdivision where it's like, here's a lot, this is this house. It's like, when you're on the water, you don't know that. How the fuck does anyone possibly know that? Why would they pass a law saying you don't have to fucking say what your property is?
Dude, why don't these guys just build like a fucking SpongeBob shell house underneath the water and be like, this is where I live.
Under the sea. Under the sea. Yeah. I love how this state that, the state is in real time grappling with the fact that it's, you know, coastal erosion, rising sea levels, and still
simultaneously opposing any effort to stop it.
We have politicians that are like, climate change is bullshit.
I mean, look, this picture here, if you're actually watching this, it says, as the moon sets over the lighthouse in Madisonville, sun rises near the mouth of the defunct river. This is actually the river that I've been out the most on. You see this all the time. Like, there's just chunks of land just floating down the river now.
Floating on down the river.
And they're under the fucking Lake Pond Stream, which is a lake near us. And it's just, you can see the erosion happening. You can see it. And if you go further down, like the Grand Isle and other parts of the southernmost part of Louisiana, just being washed away.
What a depressing story. How about an uplifting one? Sex dolls experience raises eyebrows. Oh, it's raising more than eyebrows, motherfucker. In Las Vegas neighborhood. Welcome to the studio.
When we did the episode on idolaters, there was like some in Germany and shit, I guess. So now the U.S. is getting on the action.
Neighbors and county officials are concerned. Oh, no, not concerned. About the existence of an alleged sex doll brothel and sex club operating in central Las Vegas neighborhood. According to its website, Las Vegas Sex Doll Experience offers customers the chance to spend time interacting with sex dolls in a private room at an undisclosed hourly rate. Sex Dolls Experience does not appear to be licensed in Clark County and operates out of a fluid gender social lifestyle club.
Say what?
Say what? Yeah,
why would it really need to be licensed? They're not actually people. They're people that are going and fucking dolls or having relationships with a doll. Who cares what they do?
Sydney Robinson lives in a home just down the block from the studios. She said she's heard rumors that the building is a sex club and is concerned about living near the property.
I think it's sick and it's wrong. And it should be anywhere near a residential, that it should be anywhere near a residential area, Robin says. We got apartments and houses on the other side of the road, on the other side of Pecos. And we got houses over here with children. Shouldn't be allowed.
Are the children allowed to go into the sex club? Then it's not their business.
Who cares? I mean, like,
and it's not her business. If, like, look,
they're not fucking the sex dolls in the middle of the street. They go inside a discreet little building and do it, so...
There's a building, and in that building there's rooms with sex dolls and weirdos to go and fuck them. I don't like it!
For all you know, your fucking neighbor's got his dick in a sex doll as you're fucking doing your moral grandstanding bullshit. There could be someone fucking a sex doll the next house over.
Dude, I remember back in Fresno, there was this old, porno, you know, shop where you go buy dildos and blow up dolls and porn movies and shit.
Yeah.
And it used to be out in the middle of nowhere, kind of near the freeway. But the city continued to grow, and suddenly there's a residential neighborhood that springs up around this fucking thing. And then all the people wanted it to move. It's like, we built our houses here, and we don't think our houses ought to be next to a sex shop. And it's the same argument, too. Because of the kids. There's kids over here, man.
Are the kids going to go into the shop? No, they're not allowed in the shop. Then who gives a shit? Don't. Like, look, black out the windows. The kids don't have to go in there. That's it.
A spokesman for the county said the studios is under investigation by Clark County Code Enforcement on suspicion of operating a business without a license. County records show that the studios was licensed in 2016 to operate as an educational institution under the name Fluid Lifestyles Learning Center, but it advertises itself online as a private residence that the owner or owners use as a social venue. Photos from the studio's website showcase rooms outfitted with beds, couches, televisions, and at least one stripper pole and bondage equipment.
Damn.
Sounds cool.
This guy's just opened up a sex club in their house.
Yep. Come on in.
This might be annoying, honestly. Now that I think about it, maybe I'm on the side of this woman.
I don't know. Are they making noise? Like, are they bothering people?
I mean, you got to imagine there's some noise. There's also the constant traffic of leather daddies walking in and out of it. You know what I mean?
Let's go in and fucking bang us some sex dolls.
God damn it, that guy in assless chaps took my fucking parking spot again. Gotta shut this shit down.
I'd be fighting against this fucking thing, too, if it was next to me. Be like, fuck this.
Too loud.
Bullshit.
What if they gave you free sex doll?
Okay, fucking, well then,
you know.
I mean, some could be worked out, but if they're not even going to come to me and be like, hey, you can come fuck one of my sex dolls anytime you want. Turn the other cheek, brother.
Lucasfilm's Kathleen Kennedy confirms Indiana Jones 5 is not a reboot.
Okay.
Hollywood producer Kathleen Kennedy received the BAFTA Fellowship Award, the ceremony's version of a Lifetime Achievement Award, during the 73rd British Academy Film Awards yesterday in London. During an interview with the BBC, Kennedy, who co-founded Amblin Entertainment with Steven Spielberg and Frank Marshall and has been president of Lucasfilm since 2012, spoke about the current status of the upcoming Indiana Jones project, confirming that Indiana Jones 5 will be a continuation of the story. We're working away, getting the script where we want it to be, and then we'll be ready to go, Kathleen said of the Indiana Jones film. Harrison Ford will be involved. It's not a reboot. It's a continuation.
So this just seems to support my feeling that this is going to be a Torch Pass movie.
That's
what it seems like it's setting
up.
It
would have to be.
Because if it was an action movie centered around Harrison Ford's portrayal of the titular Indiana Jones, she wouldn't be saying Harrison Ford is involved.
Right.
She'd be saying, yeah, Indiana Jones is back. Harrison's playing him. It's a whole new Indiana Jones adventure. They're not saying any of that. They're like, oh, no. It's a continuation.
It's a continuation.
This is a Torch Pass.
Of the story.
This is a Torch Pass movie.
They would have to.
But
torch
who
pass.
Will the torch be passed to? Shut up. I'm not ready for you yet. Okay. Let's continue with this entertainment news. I'm going to play a trailer for you guys. You guys love the trailers, right?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Trailer time. Upbeat music.
Oh, it's just my wife, Emma. This is my son, Charlie.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
While it lasts.
Nothing happier than the wife of a new detective.
Emma's cool, man. She's different. You don't know my wife.
You give a woman.
Any idea what this is yet?
This looks like Training Day. Is it Training Day 2?
Training Day 2.
Is it really?
Training what? Day 2.
Oh, no.
I thought this was like a comedic skit.
Yeah, this
looks
like...
Making fun of Training Day.
Yeah, I keep waiting for the shoe to drop. It's no, not, they're just literally doing Training Day.
It's not Training Day 2.
Oh, okay. It's not?
Okay.
Damn. 600 Tuesdays. It ain't worth 3 Saturday nights.
How much money you got? A lot. How many problems you got? A lot.
Lie.
How many people have died? A lot.
All available units. Hopefully
this music
down.
Isn't copyrighted.
Detective Banks.
It is.
Oh, shit.
Lionsgate. Twisted Pictures. What's going on now?
Is it Saw? What the fuck could it be?
Whoever did this has another motive.
I don't know if I can buy Chris Rock in a serious role.
Dismay. Dismay. Experience. Dismay. Nah, you fucking beat me to it.
Someone's out there pulling all the strings.
Yeah, I call the dude. It's Saw.
You want to play games, motherfucker?
From the Book of Saw?
Yeah, the Book of Saw, dude. Remember that book, Saw? You know?
What's going on? What? Will they just let this fucking series die, please?
No.
No,
they won't.
With Chris Rock being the lead role, I just keep thinking, I'm like, okay, so this is a comedy, right? This is a comedy, right? And it's like, no, it's a real horror movie.
It's Saw, dude.
It's a horror movie.
No, it's not Saw anymore. It's Spiral.
From the Book of Saw.
Which is considerably less intimidating than Saw. Oh, I saw a great racist joke about this. It's definitely mildly racist, but it's funny enough that I'm gonna do it anyway.
All right, I'll be the judge of the mildness of this racism.
Okay, so someone said that it should be called Saint.
That's racist.
Oh shit, TJ.
That's fully racist.
Full on racist.
You went full racist, sorry. TJ.
It's not me. Someone else's joke.
All right, well, whoever did that.
I'm just relaying it so that you know we could stop rhetoric like that. You know.
Of course.
I don't know. I kind of thought it looked kind of neat. I mean, I have the same trouble as Paul, though. I'm kind of like, can I accept Chris Rock in a role like this? I don't know if I'm ready.
I thought it was Training Day too. I thought you were fucking.
I know,
serious.
Right?
I was like, damn it, what? What
no.
The fuck?
They put a little Training Day in the blender. They put a little Seven in the blender, and they put a little Saw in the blender, and they're like,
add a dash of Chris Rock.
Yeah, and then throw some Chris Rock in
it. I will say that this usually does not portend to a good movie, but maybe it will be enjoyable.
I don't know. I thought it was all right.
You're so easily suckered by these fucking Saw movies, TJ.
I didn't even see any after two. I did see Saw 3. I did see Saw 3.
You saw
And we went and saw fucking Saw.
Oh yeah, we did. Yeah, but yeah. I skipped them all up Jigsaw. Until then. I skipped all the ones between Saw 3
dude,
and
you're
Jigsaw,
so full of shit, dude. You're so full of
all.
Shit.
You've
not
them
seen
all.
Them all. This is
a game, TJ.
I don't know anything about this. This is just called The Road's Not Taken. I don't know what it's about or anything.
We're
going to
find
it,
out.
It's a new trailer. I know you guys like these trailers, so.
Papa!
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 Where's Papa? Is he dead? Papa is dead.
Okay?
No, he's not.
Papa?
He's high.
Yeah, leave Papa alone. He's high.
Let Papa fucking rest, dude.
Okay.
What kind of endings do you prefer?
Depends on the story. What happens in yours?
In my story, a man sets off.
Isn't it a little early for this kind of movie?
I don't know.
Like, isn't this supposed to come out towards the end of the year when everyone's vying to get that Oscar
the
and
road's
shit?
The road's not taken.
Well, isn't like January and February the dumping ground for the shit that didn't quite turn out to be Oscar bait, though?
Yeah.
Usually.
So this is probably ass. It looks like ass.
On a long voyage, and overcomes one obstacle after another.
One obstacle after another.
On the last page, he has to decide to continue his life in exile or to come back home to what was once his home.
Sally Potter presents.
We all have regrets.
Okay, so that's another thing I'm tired of in movies, is the whole thing where, like, a dude stands next to a wall and then kind of, like, puts his head on the wall.
I mean, this just seems like a movie you've seen before. You know what I mean? Like, it goes back through his last flashbacks to his the early decisions he's made in his life, like, the regrets he has.
A journey to find himself.
Yeah, just...
Why does everyone continue to refer to Dad as if he's not here?
Who is he?
Dad. Dad!
I just don't know.
In his mind.
I'm gonna have to make some
like a dementia movie?
I mean, he looks a little young for dementia, but maybe. I don't know.
You keep reminding me of someone that I once knew.
Where have you been all day, Dad?
Wake up, Leo.
Javier Bardem. Bunch of other people.
However far away you go, you are
always. Oh, I get it. So that when he's doing that shit, it's like in his mind.
So this is like him, like looking at like the lives he could have had or whatever the fuck,
something like that.
Who cares?
The road's not taken.
I mean,
I don't.
You're just trying a little too hard to pluck my heartstrings with this movie trailer.
It's powerful stuff, Paul. It's powerful.
I'm bowled over by the power of that.
Too fucking sappy, dude.
I think it's pretty powerful stuff.
All right, go see it then.
I think it's real powerful. All right.
Go see it.
That's the end of the pleb section. If you guys want to know what's coming up next, we're going to talk about some Harvey Weinstein shit. We got some Iowa caucus shit. We got some stuff with Rockstar Games and fucking Walgreens. I don't know. There's a bunch of shit. Bunch of crazy shit. Some more police brutality like stuff. You know, it's going to be good. You'll see.
Sweet.
Oh, we got Chris Matthews crying.
Coming up soon.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
He's real soon.
I'll be honest. He doesn't quite get to the point of tears, but he's on the verge of tears.
He's misty-eyed.
Damn.
It's not in a good way.
I was
way.
Hoping he blubbered.
Well, you'll see. It's pretty funny. We'll actually watch that next, but you don't get to see it because you are...
You ain't a fucking patron.
You're not a patron, so get lost.
Deep bad fight. Deep bad fight. Deep bad fight.